And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm not great. I slashed my finger really badly on a box of bubbly. And I mean, I filled this thing. Sorry, this is gory. I don't want to show you my bloody rag, but you've seen it, Robbie.
I have.
I mean, it is, like, I can see inside my finger from a cardboard box.
That's not good.
Like, I can see, like, how do you do that? I mean, it's like a paper cut, but, like, with a chainsaw. Also, I just looked at the text line.
Yeah.
And I saw that yesterday when Jared quote-unquote beat me, Mark says, "Hey, tough luck, Joe." Mark from Nashville, he writes in all caps. And Jared wrote, "It wasn't even close."
Jeez. I think Mark's in Jared's head a little bit.
And then I said, quote, "It wasn't even close," says the guy who hasn't actually won a sports debate against someone older than 4 years old in his life. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. I mean, I was a little disappointed in the ruling yesterday. Your winning streak comes to an end in Jared versus Joe, but like you said, Jared had to win at some point, and yesterday was that day for Jared.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Jared, and I didn't even make any Baskin-Robbins jokes. Oh, real quick on that, I confirmed with Jim Wyatt at the Titans press conference that he absolutely was not making a fat joke.
That's good.
So there's no mercy on Jared on Baskin-Robbins.
Well, that's good, too. Michelle, how are you doing?
Doing great. Can't find my headphones, so we love that.
Well, good thing there's never any headphones missing around here.
Some here.
Yeah, I'll be there in the break to get them. And today's my Friday, so I'm excited.
Here we go.
Oh, that's right.
Here we go.
That's nice.
We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Predators in action tonight. They will take on the Minnesota Wild. We're going to get into a big Predators discussion coming up at 7 o'clock and look at what the future could look like for John Hines as head coach. So looking forward to that. We'll have Dan Lambert joining the show at 7:30. Our weekly visit with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports from 8 to 8:30. We got a lot to get into with Charles, so looking forward to all that as well. Joe, you were out there yesterday live from the Jeffrey Simmons press conference over at the Titans facility. You had a great tweet about Rand Carthon up there talking and Jeffrey Simmons and Mike Vrabel watching Rand Carthon speak, and I made a stupid dad joke on Twitter, and people keep talking about it right now. But what were some of your impressions from Jeffrey Simmons and his press conference yesterday over there with the Titans? Officially, I guess, announcing the extension.
Yeah, that was a good tweet.
Thank you.
By you in response to my tweet about Vrabel and Carthon watching Jeffrey Simmons talk. And then Keith Lane says, "Robbie Stanley tweets Joe Rex showed about Joe Rex's tweet about Jeff Simmons and Mike Vrabel watching Rand Carthon talk about Jeff Simmons."
Yep,
good job, Keith.
It may keep it going.
Yeah, might as well. Keep it rolling.
Yeah. For one thing, it was about a half hour late, which is very interesting. And I was like,
still falling apart.
Did he actually sign? Did he sign the deal? Is this actually happening? And then I was like, do we need to get Kaharsky out of the place and then he'll start? Like, is this just like I'm waiting out? Hopefully Kaharsky leaves. I don't know. But eventually he got there, and he got quite emotional. Simmons did. You know, talking about he had a lot of family members there, including his mom, and he talked a lot about, you know, her, all that she sacrificed for him as a kid growing up, and some of the, you know, he and his brother, you know, sharing a bed and things like that. And so it was a cool moment from that perspective. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from the presser.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I thought it was a really cool moment to see the emotion in Jeffrey Simmons yesterday. Not that you can really judge anything by a press conference as to what that's going to mean for him as a player moving forward, but it was kind of a reminder to me, Joe, anyway, that what I already thought of Jeffrey Simmons, I still think probably even stronger now, that the new deal that he's gotten is not going to, like, affect the way that he plays the game. Like, especially in a negative way, I would expect Jeffrey Simmons to still be every bit as productive, if not more so, than he has been thus far in his career as they move forward. I guess the one bit of news yesterday is he got his ankle worked on after the season and got it cleaned out. So hopefully that means he's healthy and ready to go and is full strength again as the season comes around here. But that basically the one bit of news yesterday. Other than that, it was cool to watch the emotion from Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, I think with Jeffrey Simmons, he is a tremendously gifted, you know, talented player. Just has, you know, a strength and a quickness, and you know, just that very few people in a size combination, very few people on the planet have. But I think what sets him apart is his competitiveness, which can border on. I mean, look, you've heard from opponents before talking about him spitting on them whatever, and he certainly talks a lot out there.
It's intense.
Yeah, but that also should tell you. I mean, yeah, this wasn't just like to get a payday, and now it's like, okay, you know, just go out there and go through the motions. I mean, he's so competitive, and he's a leader of this team now. I mean, I think he said yesterday he wants to be the voice of the defense, and I'd say, I mean, it's him and Byard
for sure.
You know,
yeah,
and that's been a process. So no, I mean, that competitiveness and that just intense desire to win on every snap is why he's great. You know, if he didn't have that, he'd be good. But because of that, he's great, and I think that'll continue.
It was interesting. Simmons said yesterday that, you know, the first conversation he had with Rand Carthon, he told him that he was going to be a Titan and that Rand Carthon was a man of his word, and here he is with a Titan. I did find the only reason I deleted the social media was just to avoid the distractions on social media and didn't want to be tagged and all that stuff. I enjoyed that was
the distraction of
unfollowing
thinking I'm part of the Titans.
Yes,
yeah. Yes, yeah, that was. And he was asked also about messing with people on Twitter and by Jimmy Wyatt. So I don't remember what he said about that, though. What did he say?
I think he just said he wanted to have some fun.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, he did.
He had a lot of fun. Got paid a lot of money while having fun too.
He did.
So shout out to Jeffrey Simmons, but. I mean, look, now the question, I mean, if Jeffrey Simmons is healthy, we know what he is. I mean, he's going to be one of the best defensive tackles in all of football. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I would expect that to continue and maybe even to grow over the next couple of years here as he continues to be out there for the Titans and hopefully is healthy. The question I have now is, what about what's around him? Okay, so what is Harold Landry going to be coming off the ACL? You know, we had the same conversation that I'm about to bring up about Danico Autry last year. All right, well, he's getting a little older. Is he going to be as explosive? Is he going to be as good? Well, he was every bit as good last year when he was on the field. You know, you signed Arden Key. What is he going to be? And then what we talked about yesterday, is there somebody else that they're targeting in the draft that could come in and supplement, you know, the pass rush along with those guys? But, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is the least of my concerns on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans right now. What about what's around him with Harold Landry and Autry and Arden Key? If they're all at the top of their game, then I think they got a chance to be pretty darn good. But we'll see what happens. You never know about Landry off the ACL. And as good as Danico Autry was last year, and I expect him to be good again, he is another year older in a league that is not quite as forgiving for you as you get into your 32, 33 age season.
Yeah. No doubt. That's a big part of this season. Is he going to give them all 3 years at that level? They'd need it. And Tier Tart is a very important player up front for them. And, look, the inside linebackers, David Long cleaned up a lot of stuff when he was out there playing. He was in the right spot. He was making plays all over the place. How do they look in there? You know, is it Rice and Alshire? And I'm going to have to really hone my pronunciation on Alshire. I think it's Alshire, not Alshire.
I think you're right. Alshire.
Alshire. What are those two guys going to, you know? I mean, are they, because last year at times, I mean, I think that was certainly when Long was out and, you know, Zach Cunningham had a rough start, then he gets hurt. I mean, they didn't have the continuity they needed. Are they going to have a duo in there? And obviously there's a sub package and you're in that a lot now and all that stuff. But,
oh, yeah.
But that's important as well.
Zach from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, excited for the Homertown Boys morning show today. I think we're starting something new here.
WHMR.
Getting right after it today. Got another texter that says, not to start the day in fantasy land, which is always a good start, but I had a dream the Panthers took Levis, the Texans took Young, and the Titans traded up to 3 and got Stroud and Hopkins for their first this year and next year, plus the Titans 2, 3, and 5 next year. So dreaming about the draft, that's even better.
Yeah, dude, I'm just a little worried about you that you dreamed about the draft.
We're 2 weeks away.
But I guess there's worse things you could dream about.
For sure.
Let's see. Levis. Man, what if the Panthers took Levis first?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd be incredible. My gosh. Michelle would have a parade. It'd be fantastic. It'd be just, for your guy.
Just wonderful if that took place. But, hey, I read off the FanDuel Lodge yesterday. He's a co-favorite to go number two to the Texans, which is really interesting.
Man. You know, are we going to, by the way, are we going to deal with Michelle's question today at any point on the show? I actually really like that question. Are we going to steal Michelle's topics?
We can do it coming up next.
From her show, for our show?
Let's do it coming up next. There's a nice question that Michelle and Junie threw out there yesterday that I think is very interesting, which we'll get to coming up next. We're off and running, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. They're showing a graphic up on the SportsCenter screen right now, the longest active playoff streaks in the NHL. Penguins number one, Capitals number two, or Capitals and Preds tied for number two. All of them snapped this year. Pittsburgh eliminated last night, so the 16-year drought is gone.
I know that there's a lot of tears being shed in Nashville for the Penguins.
Yes, I'm sure there are.
Yeah, Ronnie. Woo, boy.
Great job at the trade deadline.
I think Ronnie Hextall has been a spy of the Flyers the whole time.
Probably has.
You know, he's just trying to sabotage that. They should have known.
We'll get to the Preds coming up a little bit more at 7 o'clock. An interesting question that Michelle and Junie threw out yesterday that Michelle texted us about last night. And I would be interested to know what Titans fans think about this. And the question is this. If you could ensure that you would get a Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill level quarterback, which we've talked about, Joe, at the number 11 overall pick, would you do that if you're the Titans? If you knew heading into it that regardless of whoever the quarterback is that you draft, they're going to end up having a similar career as a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill, who have been around for a long time now, would you make that selection if you were the Tennessee Titans at number 11 overall? I would be very interested to see how Titans fans respond to that question. How do you respond to that question?
It's a great question, and you texted your answer to Michelle, and I basically agree with what you said, which is, for example, I think if you look at this draft, I think Hendon Hooker may be that guy. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, right? I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know that he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. And obviously, we're all guessing on these guys, and they'll end up so different than we think, you know. But that's what I think about him. And ultimately, I mean, first of all, it's interesting if you're the Titans specifically talking about this, because you have that guy. And it's not like he's 38. He's right. 30. What is he, 33?
34.
He's 34 now. So you already have him. So my answer is no. Ultimately, although you could do way worse, and if you get a guy like that, you certainly have a chance. If you build a great team around a good quarterback, you have a chance to win a championship. It's not like you have no chance. But I would want to be like the Chiefs, who got Mahomes at 10.
Yeah.
I mean, the chances of actually doing that, not great, but that's how I'd look at it. I would, especially with Tannehill in the fold right now, I would rather get a player to help him than just get a younger version of him.
See, my answer was, if I drafted somebody at 11 and they ended up being a Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill, and that's what they were throughout their career, I mean, you'd probably be okay with it as the career went on. I mean, it's not what you were hoping for, but, I mean, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. So it's not like they would be just total bust if you drafted them that way. Now, having said that, if I knew heading into it that that's what they were going to be and that was the max level of what they were going to be, I wouldn't do it. I mean, you draft these guys in hopes that you're finding a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a Patrick Mahomes. And those guys are at a different level than Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill. Not, like you said, not that you can't win with Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill, but it takes a whole lot more going right to win with Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill than it does with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and those type of guys. So, like, if I drafted somebody, let's say they drafted Anthony Richardson. Let's just throw the name out. Anthony Richardson is who they drafted at number 11. Well, you're drafting him because you hope that he can become a Patrick Mahomes type guy and that the potential that you see could make him one of the elite quarterbacks. Now, if in that process you got a 10-year starter and he was Kirk Cousins and he was Ryan Tannehill, I mean, it's not the worst situation in the world, but it's also not what you're drafting him to be. So you could do way worse, but if I knew that that's what they were going to be, my answer would be no.
Michelle, is your answer yes? Your answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, let me ask you guys another question, because I think, because I was listening back to Junie and I discussing this, and I think it became, I think the question and the conversation became more of Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins and their exact career paths right now as they're in the league. But I think more of my question was not specifically these two guys, but the skill sets that they have.
The level. Yeah.
That level of quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I asked Junie and I went back and forth on, would you rather bust on a guy or get the level of play like Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins? And he said bust, because he said that there's nothing worse than getting a quarterback like that. And then the argument became, well, you know, if you look at
there's worse.
There's worse.
But, I mean, I think when we talk about a lot of these draft prospects and, you know, if somehow I would want to do the research one day and you know, take all the first round quarterbacks ever drafted, right, and who actually, you know, you only have one Mahomes and one Burrow. And, you know, actually, if you did draft a guy like a Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins, you'd be better off than a lot of other teams around the league. So I think from my perspective, it more of was along the lines of the likelihood of you getting a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow is so, so slim that I would be a franchise that, yeah, I'd be good with that.
I agree that the likelihood is slim, but that's what you're going for, right? Like that's what that's what you got to shoot for, because that's who you got to beat.
So one player comes to mind, and I don't know if he should be in this or not, but I think about like Matt Ryan as an MVP of this league.
Yeah,
he's an MVP of this league with Kyle Shanahan as OC and Julio and other good receivers and two really good backs,
Austin
and
Hooper,
a really good offensive line.
Yeah, big hoop.
Yeah. I mean, but like utterly loaded. Matt Ryan played at a super high level a quarterback. But is Matt Ryan like does he fall in that category of that level? Because if you think he does, then I think that makes your point, right? Is that I mean, you can? Now, granted, they didn't win it. They should have won it. It's Shanahan's fault, but but still, like if you think he's in that realm, and I don't know, maybe you don't. Maybe you think Matt Ryan in his prime was significantly better than those guys. I think he was better, but I could make the case that he's in that kind of in the same tier.
I think he's probably better than Cousins and Tannehill were. Like I would probably put Cousins and Tannehill in tier 3, right? And I would have put that version of Matt Ryan probably in tier 2.
Okay.
Does that make any sense? That's probably the way that I would look at it.
Now,
but
we've argued for Tannehill in tier 2 before.
We have before. And, you know, there have been times where he's looked like he's tier 2.
In 2020, he was, I think.
For sure. So
in 19.
John in Springfield on the text line says, yes, you do take it because you could always draft higher and end up with Johnny Manziel. That's from John from Springfield
easily.
On the text line.
Right.
Ken in Waverly says, I say no. If you know you're going to get a Tannehill or a Cousins, then no. Why would you want to draft a quarterback at 11 that you know will never get you over that hump?
That doesn't mean he can't. It just means that you have less margin for error, and you have to build tremendously around the QB.
Having said that, neither one of those guys have gotten them over the hump. I mean, Kirk Cousins has the best wide receiver in football, and they can't win a playoff game.
Yeah. Now, he did win a playoff game at the expense of Drew Brees with a clutch drive and incredibly clutch throw at the end of the game. without him. Yeah. So, but yes.
So then the question turned into, because this is a perfect point, then the question turned into, okay, if you're comparing a prospect to one of those guys with their skill sets, but you don't actually know, does he have that like clutchness in him in the playoffs? Because I think people are getting that confused, right? You, Joe, you just said, well, you know, if you build around them, you can't really say, no, they can't do it. But yes, they haven't done it yet in their careers. But, you know, the Matt Ryan, an example, you know, even some people would say Jalen Hurts with the Eagles, right? He didn't win the Super Bowl, but he got his team all the way there with a great roster surrounding him. So then, you know, you kind of get into more of that.
Well, and like with Tannehill, I mean, before Tannehill threw three picks against the Bengals, you know, I mean, I thought differently of him, you know, because that's the thing. Yeah. Is until you see them in those situations. Now, again, Tannehill had won playoff games before, too, so. Whatever you think about that, he made good winning plays in those games. But it's a really good question. Because, look, I think there's quarterbacks lower than these guys who have won Super Bowls. So, I mean, Jimmy G, again, is one throw. I mean, Jimmy G's I would put him a little behind both of those guys. And right. He was one throw from beating Mahomes and winning the Super Bowl. Now, was it Jimmy G winning it? No, they were an incredibly loaded team, but still, that's what the whole goal is, to win the freaking Super Bowl.
Right, but again, the one throw he missed.
I mean, yeah, well,
you got to make the throw.
Yeah, he missed the throw. He missed the throw. Like, yeah, I can't
that's
argue.
The difference. Yeah. I mean, it's those. You know, Patrick Mahomes not missing that throw. Joe Burrow's not missing that throw, and that's what you got to find if you're a team like the Titans. It's a really interesting question. We got a lot of thoughts on this. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The question is this. If you knew that at number 11 overall, the Titans could take a quarterback and they ended up with a similar career or skill set as a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill, would you do it? 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Michelle and Junie threw out this question yesterday. If you knew, if you were the Titans, that at number 11 you could draft a quarterback and they would end up having the same career path / skill set of a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill, would you do it? Take your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025. So far, we have had one that says yes. So there is that on the text line. Chuck on the text line says, an elite NFL quarterback has to win you at least 3 or 4 games a season by carrying the team. I don't know that Ryan Tannehill has won more than one game in that scenario. He doesn't lose them, but he doesn't win them either. This from Chuck on the text line. Alex from Montreal says, sure, you can get by with C's, but to be on top, you need A's. And another texter says, neither Cousins nor Tannehill intimidate opposing defenses, nor are they winners of the big game. So the answer to that question is, in all capital letters, a big fat no.
Again, you know, Tannehill's last time out in the postseason, you can't argue with it. It was terrible. But Tannehill has won playoff games. Cousins won the game in New Orleans that no one gave him a chance to win. It's not like they've never done it. How many teams right now in the NFL think that they have an elite quarterback? How many teams in the NFL have an elite quarterback?
Well, you're Kansas City.
Cincinnati. Buffalo.
Packers or Jets, we don't know.
Yeah, one we'll of them say, thinks
we'll,
they got one.
We'll say Jets.
Packers with Jordan Love, 5.
I mean, you got some teams who hope still that they do, like
Justin Herbert.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, I think I'd feel good about that if I were them. You got, the Bears hope it'll come around. We'll see. The Dolphins hope they have one. I mean, the Browns have
they paid one
a previously elite one. The Jags hope he comes on, but I mean, Yeah. Now, you'd rather be in that spot. But, like, to Michelle's point, I mean, the Eagles, I don't think have a top-tier elite quarterback, but they sure almost won it all with him and sure might this year.
Oh, he's pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a good player.
But isn't he – wouldn't you – although a different player kind of put him in the same realm?
I mean, he had a season last year that Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins have never had. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, would you –
is that true?
I mean, Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill have never been in the NFL MVP conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
No, I mean, he did it a different way, right? I mean,
2019 was right.
How many did he run in? He ran in like 15 touchdowns last year. So it's a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
But
right, it's hard to compare.
Saying, like, Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins have never seriously been in an NFL MVP conversation.
That's fair. But yeah, you know, you look around a lot of, I mean, look, a lot of teams. I mean, the Saints probably going to win the division. They have a good quarterback. You know, Titans have a good quarterback. And I guess you could say the Lions have a good quarterback. I mean, when conditions are good, I think Goff is right in the tank. I know you think that Goff is way behind Tannehill.
He's fine.
But he's good. So, it's of course you want that, of course. But, like, the Steelers, I don't think Kenny Pickett's ever going to be, you know, great. What? What's so funny?
We had the conversation yesterday, and Junie's like, well, I think he can be. He had a couple fourth quarter drives toward the end of the season.
Of course.
He said Lamar, no. And then we went to the Steelers next, and he's like, you know, Kenny Pickett, he had a couple fourth quarter drives.
That's the thing, is Lamar is very close, you know, when he's healthy and playing. He's close.
It's tier two.
Yeah. But Kenny Pickett, so I don't think he's ever going to be like a top guy, but I think he could be very good. And if the Steelers do what they seem to always have a knack for doing, which is just being solid and building good teams, you know, they could chase championships with him, right?
Yeah, look, I think for most Titans fans, if you knew, and that's kind of what we're getting at, like, you knew that they were going to be a Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill type player, I think the large majority of Titans fans would say, no, thanks, man. Like, if they ended up being that, that's one thing. And you try to make the best of it. But if you knew that that's what they were going to be heading into it, I don't think there'd be a whole lot of Titans fans signing up for that. And that doesn't mean that Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill are bad players. But, again, everybody wants that elite guy, right? And you want to find that guy that can give you a chance to win a Super Bowl for 12, 15 years, like Kansas City has stumbled upon with Patrick Mahomes, or Cincinnati has stumbled upon with Joe Burrow. Like, you want that guy that's always going to give you a shot to be in the conversation for a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And, you know, and we're going to find out with some of these guys. I mean, at some point, you know, Justin Herbert, like, needs, you know, he's going to need to, like, it's going to come up, like, okay, is he going to win a playoff game?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's early. But I'm just saying, I mean, that's still really when you find out about some of these guys. So, but yeah, I couldn't make the pick either, knowing, because you want better than that. It's just so hard to get better than that.
Well, there are so many guys in the league, though, too, that are, you know, even if you think they're a little bit better than Cousins and Tannehill, there are still a lot of guys where I'm like, okay, well, can they win? Like Dak Prescott, right? Like, Dak Prescott is getting paid a lot of money, and we've seen Dak Prescott have some games and some seasons where he looks really good. And then last year, I mean, he was throwing interceptions like he's giving away birthday party gifts at his child's birthday party. Just giving the ball away left and right. And you're like, well, what's going on there? And, you know, Josh from Nashville brings it up on the text line. When you have to consider Dak Prescott, he actually had a little bit better numbers than Josh Allen this past season. I mean, aside from turning the ball over. Although Josh Allen turned the ball over a lot.
Yeah,
they
both threw too many picks last year.
But
yeah,
it's just, there are so many guys like Dak Prescott that are, like, right there below that top tier that you're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Cowboys can win with Dak Prescott. They've not come close to doing so as of yet.
Yeah, he's a really interesting one, because I think he's very talented. He's had injuries, but when he's right, he's been very good. But, yeah, like last year, all of a sudden it's just a pick fest. So, and he's had, for the most part, He's been surrounded by
pretty good
supporting cast.
Good,
you know?
Good offensive line basically his whole career to this point. Yeah,
better than some of these guys, so you maybe think a little less of him in that light.
Cam on the text line says the only positive to doing this would be longevity. You'd have 10 years to try to build around that quarterback if that's the route you went. This is from Cam on the text line. And that is, I mean, look, you're resetting, number one, your quarterback market, your contract. So you're playing on a rookie deal, and you're also, you know, going back in time to, you know, Tannehill's going to be 35 coming up in July. And let's say it was Hooker. He's 25. So you've set it back 10 years, and you can build around that guy on a rookie deal. I mean, you could put together a pretty good roster going that route.
You could. And, I mean, look, really, we're kind of disrespecting Tannehill. I mean, we're talking about a top 50 all-time quarterback.
Yes, well, there is that.
So, you know, per some
per
analysts.
Some. In history of the league. If you go by passing yards, he's in there.
That's true.
If you go by passing yards, Andy Dalton might as well just go and retire, get ready for his Hall of Fame
get
speech.
That jacket. Get suited for, you know, for that
24th,
jacket, big Andy.
Andy Dalton, that's still kind of amazing to me that in the history of the National Football League, Andy Dalton is the 24th all-time leading passer by yardage. It's pretty incredible.
That is. That's a great stat.
It really is. Shout out to Andy Dalton.
The Red Rifle.
I look at this quarterback, like, to me, the Anthony Richardson part of this is interesting because, like, we've been talking about Tannehill and Kirk Cousins. Like, I think, to me, and this is just me personally, you may disagree, I think there's a way better than 50% chance that Anthony Richardson eventually ends up being way worse than a Kirk Cousins or a Ryan Tannehill at the NFL level. Now, he's going to be drafted.
Oh, no doubt.
Because the thought process is going to be, well, he also has the potential to be maybe like a Patrick Mahomes type of player at the NFL level. I mean, we've talked about the range on Anthony Richardson. But, like, if you drafted Anthony Richardson and he ended up being like Ryan Tannehill, that is a scenario that if I'm drafting him, I could probably live with. It's not what you want, but I could also see a scenario with him and a Will Levis and a lot of these guys where you draft them and it's just really bad. And that's the name of the game with the NFL draft and quarterbacks is we've seen number one overall picks be just total duds in the NFL. And we've seen guys drafted in third, fourth, fifth, sixth round with Tom Brady that end up to have great careers. I mean, it's a really interesting process of what works and what doesn't. And we've gone through a laundry list of reasons for that.
That's part of why it's so fascinating. So someone on the text line asked about this is a really good question. The number six all-time passer, who's just ahead of number seven, Matt Ryan.
Six normally is ahead of number seven.
Thank you.
Sometimes behind in Joe's mind.
6:41 a.m. Philip Rivers.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you take that?
Yeah, but the thing about Philip Rivers is, man, I mean, never won anything. You could always say, yeah, but man, did he throw some bad picks in some times when he could have won something. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, if you want to specifically take Philip Rivers.
But he's probably Hall of Famer. Like, he's probably going to get in the Hall of Fame.
I think he'll get in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, I think, again, like, if you're going to take this on an individual, like, Michelle's question is not, like she said, about specifically this is exactly the player. It's about that tier. So, I mean, you could say that he's on a higher tier, and yet.
Oh, he was definitely on a higher tier. I mean, he's, you know, what was he, like a 11 or 12-time Pro Bowler? I mean, he's pretty good.
Was he, I mean, I assume he must, I don't remember off the top of my head, I assume he must have been in MVP discussions.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, I don't know that, and he was never.
I don't know that he was ever
the
really
close. The
problem
with him was you're playing in the same time as Brady and Manning. And Breeze and all those guys throughout your career. Yeah. Like,
who's number five, by the way?
Yeah. There he is, which is ahead of six.
Thank you.
Sometimes behind, though, in your mind.
Possibly.
I got a text that says the QB talk doesn't matter until you get a left tackle. It's from an unnamed texter.
Well, stop throwing cold water on our discussion. God, you want to sit here and talk about offensive linemen all day? Come on.
Well, I mean, it does matter. Like, you know.
Yeah.
The Bengals got Joe Burrow before they got a left tackle. It mattered.
And he tore his ACL. But they still had Joe Burrow. And they still do. And they still feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
And he still took him to a Super Bowl with an awful offensive line.
Maybe the worst offensive line I've ever seen. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our text line. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063, the game.
It's that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week?
I would, thank you. And both of them are basketball related. How about that? Best thing, NBA playoffs are here. I'm very, very excited. And
are they?
Well, this week, I'll get into that whatever. There have been some really good games. Oh, you got a worse.
Yes, Robbie.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of the play-in stuff. There have been some great games this week. I can take it or leave it. I get it. If you give me a choice, I'd just go back to 1 through 8 and leave it at that. But we're coming up on, I'm excited about Warriors Kings. I'm excited about Clippers Suns. Clippers Suns is a first round matchup. I don't think you have this too often. A first round matchup with two teams that to me absolutely are good enough to win the whole thing. You don't see that a ton. And I would not say that I don't think the Kings are good enough to win though. I don't think they're ready this year. But that's also a very interesting. I mean, Cavs Knicks is a good freaking series.
Lakers Memphis.
Grizzlies Lakers, I'm all in. I don't want to miss a second of that. So that's my whole thing. All this hate that I've heard this week. You know, I heard Jared with his usual exaggeration, hyperbole. No one cares. No one cares in the NBA. Blah, blah. Nah, man. There's a lot of fair criticisms of the league. They got to fix, like, all the stuff that's going on in the regular season and everything. But the playoffs are amazing. I'm pumped for that. Worst, I'm going to double down on what I did yesterday. The WNBA. Now I'm seeing, like, some of the reaction from, like, people in the WNBA, including some players. Like, what are you complaining about? Like, you can request a player to come out and talk to you. Stop it. It's such a terrible, dumb decision by the league, and I hope that people continue to complain enough that they change their minds. So there you go.
Very nice. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things.
No, did I just steal it from you? I'm sorry, Michelle.
I'm staring Joe down. I'm listening to you right now, and you're like, I'm doing basketball, and I'm like,
oh, boy.
So very similar.
We have hive mind.
It hurts both of you that you can't talk college basketball this week, doesn't it?
We could.
Yes.
The portal.
Okay, so my best in sports, you know that I am required to watch the Chicago Bulls because of, you know, my roommate. And we were watching them last night, and they're not very good. And they were down by about 20 points to the Raptors. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, throw in the towel. Oh, well, not a big deal. And
sorry, Ryan, at least you can cheer for your crappy White Sox.
This is why, I mean, Zach LaVine is in the upper echelon of, like, one of the great, not great, but a very, very elite player in the NBA. I also don't think he gets a lot of respect when talked about. But, I mean, when you talk about a player taking over a game, I mean, they're down by 20. DeMar DeRozan took a towel and ripped it in half. He's so upset. And Zach LaVine just went off last night. And I think that's what makes the NBA playoffs so exciting because, you know, you are watching the most elite basketball players in the world. I mean, we talk about college basketball, how it's great. Okay, well, what, 3% of those guys or maybe not even 3% of college basketball players end up playing in the NBA. But just an incredible performance. They ended up winning, so that made my household happy last night. And the ESPN broadcast did just an amazing job because DeMar DeRozan's daughter, she's probably an elementary schooler, and you can hear her shrieking. She does this thing where the opposite team goes to the foul line, and you can hear her shrieking, and they're just doing a close-up of her face. And she's shrieking when they screaming so loud when they shoot the foul shots. And then the Raptors usually at the foul line shoot 78.4%, and they shot 50 last night. So you can shout out to DeMar DeRozan's daughter on that. And my worst in sports is also the WNBA. Like I just said, kind of with Joe, you touched on it. I just don't understand that a league that wants people to cover them and wants more media recognition would close something like that. And that's really all. If there's a specific reason that nobody's thinking of, okay, tell us. But I highly, highly doubt it. You're just hurting yourselves.
There you go.
I'm glad that we doubled up on that one.
All right. My best thing in sports The Tampa Bay Rays starting 12-0. We were talking about this before the show.
How about
that?
They
are one shy of tying the MLB record, which is 13-0 that was set in 1987 by the Brewers and in 82 by the Braves.
So, shout out Rob Deere and Paul Molitor.
There you go. So 12-0 for the Tampa Bay Rays. They'll try to go for 13-0. I guess they play today. So we'll see if they can do it.
Yeah. Tropicana.
Today.
Well, Thursday sometimes is an off day.
We'll see. At some point, they're going to be going for 13-0. Yeah. We'll see if they can't get there. But a 12-game winning streak at any point in Major League Baseball is very impressive. A 12-game winning streak to begin the season in Major League Baseball is very impressive. And one game away from doing something that's only been done two other times in the history of the league. So shout out to the Tampa Bay Rays. My worst thing in sports, I absolutely despise the NBA play-in games. I cannot stand them. I understand that some of the games themselves have been good, but you play 82 games to determine the playoffs. I don't know why in a league that has 30 teams and already 16 of them make the playoffs, which means over half the freaking league makes the playoffs. I don't know why we have to add these two other games to give the 10 seed a shot to make the playoffs. You know what your shot to make the playoffs was? The 82 games that you played in the regular season. I cannot stand the NBA play-in tournament. All we've done now is delay the playoffs for a week, essentially. So, congratulations. You can play for the right to get smashed by the Milwaukee Bucks, as my Heat and Bulls are doing coming up on Friday. Or, you know, the Thunder won last night. So, congratulations. Y'all can have a chance to go get absolutely destroyed by the Denver Nuggets coming up here next week. You've delayed the playoffs for a week. You basically had, you know, everybody else is sitting on their hands waiting for this play-in stuff to get over. I hate the NBA play-in tournament. I think it's one of the dumbest things they've ever done. Can't stand it.
So it's, yeah, so that makes 20 of 30, right? 20 of 30.
20 of 30.
20 of 30, quote-unquote, make the postseason.
Yeah.
Do postseason streaks, do they count that?
Do you know that stats don't count at all in the play-in tournaments?
Yeah, like it's just
count at all.
They don't count for your like playoff stats, like your career playoff stats.
They are nowhere to be found ever. The only thing that counts
just
is whoever
floating
wins.
Out there.
That's
the craziest thing.
That is wild.
You got 30 teams, 16 of them make the playoffs. I think it's probably enough.
Yeah,
over half the league.
You're not wrong.
Cam on the text line says, "Best thing is the NHL playoff stretch and the Bruins breaking the all-time points record." So Boston did set the all-time win record and now have broken the all-time points record in the regular season as well. His worst is Zion Williamson cleared but not playing because his family is upset about the Pelicans wanting to weigh him. Like, come on, man, you're a professional athlete. This is from Cam on the text line. The Zion Williamson thing has been really interesting to monitor down there in New Orleans. Like, they got to be so mad at the way this thing has played out. And, you know, obviously he was the first pick. Ja Morant was the second pick in that draft, and I would say Memphis probably, well, until some off-the-court behavior this year from Ja Morant, really thanking their lucky stars that that was the selection that they made between those two, because he has been way better on the court and certainly more available.
It's really – the whole thing is so disappointing because I still believe that Zion Williamson can be one of the greats. Really do.
I do too.
In fact, I remember being a guest on a previous version of The Morning Show here and going off – on the host who said that R.J. Barrett was going to be a better pro than Zion Williamson. I'm like, what? You guys must hate basketball. You're kidding me. Watch Zion Williamson play, dude. He should be a dominant NBA player. It's ridiculous.
I got a text that says, "Dude, Robbie, why do you think there is a play-in game? Maybe because the records are tied, man." No, they're not. It's a play-in game. It happens every year. This is not because they have the same records. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're going to do
Pay
this.
Pay attention.
It's just 7 through 10,
yeah,
man.
7
through 10, whatever the records
to do
are
with the
is
records
what it,
being
is what it is.
Yeah. So pay attention before you comment on things. That'd be great. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025.
Also, he says Lakers are going to sweep the Grizz.
Yeah, I mean, just total absurdity all over that text. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Nashville Predators. And we know the Predators have been eliminated from the playoffs. What does it mean for John Hines? Will John Hines be back as head coach for the Nashville Predators next year? We'll get into that. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.